You filed months ago. Where's my refund? Still says processing. No letter, no explanation, and you'd already spent that money in your head. Deposit, moving costs, whatever it was. That's the situation we're in today.
And the first thing worth saying is, you're not imagining the wait. The National Taxpayer Advocate reported to Congress on the 2025 filing season, and about 3.6 million taxpayers got their refunds past the IRS's normal processing window.
3.6 million. Out of how many?
104 million people got a refund. That's 63% of filers. So the delayed group is the minority. But that's cold comfort when you're in it.
Okay, so how long were those people waiting?
Depends entirely on how you filed. Delayed e-filers averaged 7 weeks. Delayed paper filers averaged 14 weeks.
Double.
Because every paper return has to be manually transcribed before processing even starts. There's no error involved. The format itself is the delay. 94% of returns were e-filed last season. About 11 million, 6%, came in on paper.
And then there's the identity theft number, which I read twice because I thought it was a typo.
Yeah. Identity theft victims average more than 21 months for the IRS to resolve the case and issue the refund. More than 21 months on average. And remember what an average is. That's people who eventually got paid. Cases nobody pushes on can run longer than that.
Is there a reason 2026 feels worse than it used to?
There's a piece of context in the article. TIGTA reporting says the IRS workforce shrank by roughly 27% in 2025. Now, returns that sail straight through automation aren't affected by that at all. But any return that needs a human being to look at it is now in a longer line behind fewer people. And that 3.6 million figure is exactly that population. Returns kicked out of automation.
So the question becomes, why did mine get kicked out?
Right, and there are six common buckets. Paper filing. Identity verification, where the IRS mails you a letter, often 5071C, asking you to prove you filed the return. Actual identity theft, where somebody filed under your social first. An income or credit review, the CP5 type, where they compare your wages and withholding against what your employer reported. Statutory holds, returns claiming EITC or the additional child tax credit can't be paid before mid-February. That's the law. And offsets.
Define offset for me, because I think people hear that and picture a hold.
It's the opposite of a hold. Your refund processed fine. It got issued. It just went to a government creditor instead of to you. Back taxes, child support, a defaulted student loan.
Oh, so the tool might even say issued.
It might. And that's where the transcript matters more than the tool.
Walk me through the codes. Slowly, because this is the part where people's eyes glaze.
Five of them cover most stuck refunds. Code 570 is a general hold. Additional account action pending. The refund still exists, it just can't release. Code 810 is a freeze, harder stop, usually identity or credit verification, and it only lifts when a specific reversal posts. Code 811.
810 in, 811 out.
That's it. Code 971 means a notice was issued, a letter's on the way explaining the hold. Code 898 means offset. Your refund went to a non-IRS debt. And 846 is the good one. Refund issued. And the date next to it is your payment date.
Say those back. 570, 810, 971, 898, 846.
Correct. And here's the part people miss. The transcript usually names the reason days or weeks before any letter shows up in your mailbox.
Which matters because the letter might not show up at all.
It might not reach you. If you moved, after a divorce, say, and the letter goes to the old address, the return just sits suspended, indefinitely. Nothing in that system times out in your favor.
Okay, that's the scary version. What does the taxpayer actually control here?
More than they think, in the letter cases. The article puts it plainly. A return under identity verification or a CP5 review stays suspended until you respond. There's no automatic release. So answering the week it arrives is the single fastest thing available to you.
And if it's identity theft?
Form 14039 is the identity theft affidavit. Request an identity protection PIN. That's a 6-digit number that blocks anyone else from e-filing under your social. And if it drags, open a case with the Taxpayer Advocate Service. That's Form 911. TAS is independent, it's free, and it exists to move files the automated system has stalled.
Wait, back up on offsets. There's a phone number, right?
Treasury Offset Program Hotline, 800-304-3107. You call and hear whether your refund went to another government debt.
800-304-3107.
Yep, and if the debt is solely your ex-spouse's, their student loans, their separate back taxes, Form 8379 is the injured spouse allocation. The IRS reallocates the refund between spouses based on each person's income, withholding, and credits.
The article does a hypothetical on that. I don't want to oversell it.
No, and the article doesn't either. It's an illustration of the arithmetic. A joint refund seized for his loans, and the allocation follows who paid in. Two caveats sit right next to it, though. It isn't always a straight percentage. Community property states use different rules, and injured spouse processing adds weeks to months on top of the delay you already have. Also, and this one surprises people, a divorce decree alone does not stop an offset.
Say that again?
A divorce decree does not stop the Treasury from offsetting a joint refund. The decree binds the two of you. It doesn't bind the government.
There's also a deadline hiding in all this.
The RSED, Refund Statute Expiration Date. You generally have 3 years from the return's due date to claim a refund, and after that, the money is forfeited to the Treasury permanently. No appeal from a missed refund statute.
Anything on the other side of the ledger? The IRS owing you?
There is. If the IRS pays your refund more than 45 days after the filing deadline, or after the date you filed, if that's later, it owes you interest at the federal overpayment rate. Automatic, you don't apply. Though it's taxable income the next year, and it rarely comes close to making up for a months-long wait.
Last thing, when is this a do-it-yourself problem?
Often. The article's honest about that. Most of the 3.6 million resolved without professional help. If you're inside those windows, 7 weeks e-file, 14 weeks paper, and your transcript shows a routine 570 and 971 pair, that's a patience and paperwork problem. Same if the fix is a verification you've been putting off.
And when is it not?
An 810 freeze that won't release after you've already verified. An identity theft case, drifting toward that 21-month average with nobody assigned. An offset tangled up with an ex's debt across multiple years. Or a refund frozen because an earlier year is unfiled or carries a balance. And that last one's important because if you owe from another year, the refund keeps feeding that debt every year until the debt itself is dealt with.
So the refund isn't really the problem.
The account underneath it is. Someone reading transcripts daily can usually find the actual blocker in one pass instead of 6 phone calls. What I won't tell you is how it lands. That depends on your facts.
Fair. So, next 24 hours, check Where's My Refund and write down 2 things, the exact status message and the date you filed. That tells you whether you're inside the window or past it. Pull your account transcript if you can log in, and put your hands on every IRS letter you've gotten this year.
And if you see a freeze code, an 898 offset, or an old balance behind it, that's the point to get a free case review. Clarity's enrolled agents can read the file. 888-825-7779.
Because the freeze doesn't lift on its own.
It doesn't. Waiting quietly is the one approach with nothing behind it.